The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. The only this time. 4, 3, 2, 1. It's a goal. Right on the Tigers. Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion. Just down the bars.
Oh, gee whiz. Had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
Are we feeling smug?
I'm not worried. Like, being flag favourites makes me nervous.
Really?
Like, yeah, being the front runner, like, it's sort of both our 17 and 19 flags were sort of chasing for most of the year. And, yeah, like, this is sort of, it's a wonderful position to be in. But, you know, the next day when I woke up on flag favourites, it's like, you know, starts to make me nervous again. But, yeah, it was a pretty special game. And I certainly enjoyed it a great deal.
Yeah. We talk a lot about goal kicking, and, you know, maybe if the pact with the devil that we have to live with is mediocre kicking against mediocre teams, and we convert really well against good teams, I can live with it.
Yeah, so we still win. We win by 11 points. If it goes to the expected shot. So, yeah, we did have a good goal-kicking game when it mattered, but a lot of those shots were for close in, but some of those snaps that went in were 50-50, and you probably only, as much as Bolter is a long kick, I'm sure even he, even not under pressure, which he was, only kicks that shot, you know, at best 1 out of 3 times. So it was pretty, it was good timing to have Yaren.
Dusty snap was extremely low percentage for normal people.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I'm not sure Dustin Martin lives on. I'm not sure statistical analysis applies in any way to Dustin Martin.
I break your numbers. I did think though that was when Bolton handed off to Bolter. Wasn't that one of the 3 longest kicking players in the team handing the ball off anyway?
He doesn't trust himself kicking outside when not on the run. Have you noticed that? He's done that multiple times.
Yeah, I was wondering.
And, you know, you've got to trust him to know his game. Presumably he knows that from taking set shots at training, but I've seen him do that multiple times before. It's interesting. But not unexpected. But yeah, it's definitely, it's not second longest kick in the team. Like, I think he's now a longer kick than Dusty is, giving off to the longest kick.
Oh, Jaden Short as well.
Yeah, that's true. So would he be a longer kick than Jaden? It'd be 50-50. There's so many things I want to unpack, Nick. But since you're talking about stat nerds not knowing what they're talking about, and, you know, look, by all means, let's go back to the good old days of football analysis, where everything was played on a Saturday. People only watch one game. They tended to only watch the good teams, and they extrapolated everything from the one game of football they watched once with bad statistics, no replay except for one quarter, and then they made profound judgments based on, in a very complex game where 36 people are doing random stuff all the time that they, you know, it's much better to make judgments on that basis than it is with these modern statistics, which are just nerds entertaining themselves. But I am going to make the stats don't pick this up. And actually, the coaches didn't give him any votes either. But close to best on ground, after I watched the replay, I came away. So to set the table for this, you know, West Coast's great intercepting team. And if people don't know, I think they had 0 intercept marks.
Yep. And, well, McGovern and Barris are pretty much as good a duo as there is.
And if you look, watch the replay, and so not only did he kick 3 himself, but so many goals came off Tom Lynch getting sort of The last Richmond player who really played like that was Benny Gale, front of the pack, sucked up all the other opposition players. Like, it was often 3-on-1. Tom Lynch was front and centre and took a power position and he's so strong and he's so powerful. He often wouldn't mark it, but he couldn't because he had three people on him. But he worried them enough that they were so sucked into him that it created, I think, by my count, 3 or 4 goals for other players. So, by my count, I reckon Tom Lynch was responsible for 6 to 7 goals that we kicked on the weekend and was absolutely crucial in the way we broke down their intercepting defence. Like best 4 possession game I've ever seen by a mile. It was an extraordinarily good game.
Yeah. The structure of the attack was just working really well in terms of everyone in their roles of the big forwards endlessly competing, the small forwards working really hard and applying pressure. Just when it works, it works well and players, I think Dan Rioli's coming into some form. Arts was busy, Ian, dangerous, Bolton. How many times can we rave about Bolton? It was exciting.
And after a month of not kicking one, George finally kicked a crumbing goal as well. So it often, I actually wondered, Nick, he's less predictable to rove off than Lynch, but it does make you wonder how Richo would have gone with these small forwards around him. Other than Cracker, I don't think he ever played with a genuine roving small forward who was half as good as a collective as these guys are.
Cracker was about a yard and a half of pace away from being a really, really good small forward rather than just a useful one as well, I think. So, yeah. And we went an awfully long time after the heyday of Nation Daffy. We went a long time without having good small forwards.
Yeah, so look, it was really, we've said this a few times this week, it was really a triumph of game plan. Because I saw the and I'm going to cut to the rucks early. Actually, before I do.
That was pretty great.
They were great. So the stats were tied in hitouts to advantage, but there were, and it worked out well in the end, just because Soldo was able to kick one goal because of his size. The Nank goal was just a down-the-ground kick. It had nothing to do with Nank being there. But Nank did actually create another goal. He was a small part of the solution to the West Coast intercepts because we did get kick one goal off the Nank spoil where he just got up in the pack and caused that he was too big and too strong, caused enough chaos to bring the ball to ground, even though they had the outnumber. There were periods for the game where Nick Nat absolutely dominated both rucks. At first, I tweeted about two that were early in the second quarter. There was a tap where Nick Nat in the center square, his knee went flying past Nank's head. Actually not dissimilar to the Bolter Kennedy thing. The difference being that it was lucky enough that for Nank that it missed. But Nick Nat had his way pretty much with Soldo as well in the center square. They got it back around the grounds, but yeah.
Early on, though, I think they got worn down. Wore down both, particularly Nick, but also Bailey Williams. Like our guys are just relentlessly physical, and I think they really back each other up. And look, between them, 23 disposals. And 11 tackles. Seven tackles. So the pressure from both of them was really good.
No, it was, and actually, if you tally there, the goal Soldo kicked was it was from a lost hit out. But then Nank absolutely, nailed a magnificent tackle in the centre square, which set up the clearance. Young Thompson Downer actually, had one of the key, probably would have got the credit for the clearance. and hand passed on to Bolton. I think he thumped it long to Solder. But yeah, so and you know, as soon as it's around the ground, it's much more even. You know, Nank especially can use his strength and his brains. It's fine. It's just in the centre. Like, we lost the centre square clearances 15-9. So you know, had the rest of the game gone a different way, we'd take more notice of it. But because you know, overall we drew even and both of them kicked goals, it, you know, it came out looking great and we won. But it was more nuanced than that, and we should still be worried about Nick Nack in the finals. But look, again, it's like, you've got essentially the all, you've got an all, probably the best in his position right now playing for the other team, and your combination position group versus their position group drew an even, probably a slight win because of the goals. Like, that's a pretty big win.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I was fascinated by the confidence of starting off the second quarter. So Soldo wrecked most of the first quarter, and then Nank sort of had a stint in the second quarter. But not only did we start off with Nank, but we started off with the second quarter with Thompson Dow and Luke Shuey, which talk about confidence in the young man.
Do you think it was a coincidence we lost the first few centre clearances of the second quarter? But yeah, you know, look, we're playing him inside, and we need another inside bin. And look, you know, he was tall positions is not all inspiring, but he had what did he have? He had 11 by three quarter time. He had 42 pressure X, which is quite a lot. Like, you know, that's quite a respectable game. It was a very typical first game where you get flashes of promise but can't sustain it. But you know, there was no shame in his game, and there was lots of cleverness going on. And Nick,
the game didn't look too fast for him. Like, it's clearly a big step up from going from scratch matches, but
yeah, and it's a big game. Yeah. And Nick, do we already have the best hour?
I was pretty encouraged.
Do we already have the best hour, Nick?
I've become mildly obsessed. Tom, you know, Thompson Dow, 18 in his first year, you know, admirable effort in his first game. He's already played as many games for the season as his older brother, who's 20 years old, in his third season as the third pick in the draft. A draft at which, by the way, among others, we got Noah Bolter at pick 25. And they've played the same number of games. And Paddy Dow's yet to average more than 15 disposals for a season. God, I started off the year thinking, maybe we could unite the brothers. And, now I'm thinking, maybe we just stick with Thompson. He seems pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. It's a great look. I was really like, how can you not be happy with everyone? But you just sort of an extra little inside player can get touches, clever touches through the middle is like, I think, is something we really needed. You know, well, I don't know how many more games he'll play for the year, but you know, especially while Shadow's not back, it's a very useful position to get a bit more depth in.
Yeah, and you look with, you know, Fremantle and Adelaide. You know, particularly Fremantle, you don't want to take lightly. But yeah, maybe you don't. Well, it seems like other than possibly Caddy's been dropped, so presumably he's available if they want him back. But Prestia and Edwards are still a few weeks away, so. Yeah, there's a chance there for him.
Yeah, you can basically pile up all our predictions we made about selection and burn them because they couldn't be any more inaccurate.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, well. And if you look at normally who's in emergency is a pretty good sign for who's close to a game too. And young Will Martin. Appear on the emergencies list as well.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too.
He's missed most of the season with injury, and I would have thought he's not a prospect for this year, but look, who knows if, you know, surprise debutant football was the biggest thing that we have as a surprise for the rest of the football season. It's going okay.
Yeah, he was getting, as people might remember, he was getting a bit of preseason hype, and then he just got injured so early on that we never really got to witness it. But it's not incredible. Now, Nick, before we move off the midfield, I think, you know, once again, we've sort of have slightly buried the lead. I know it was only a 17 possession game, capped with one amazing touch, but, you know, for a team, it so highlights this modern team that Dusty, in a low possession game, suddenly had his, I think, career high in pressure points, 56, second on the team. 56 is normal. It would have led the team if you don't have the incredible Jack Graham playing for you. Six tackles, which is equal game leader. You could see he was really locked in. And, you know, he still drops off chases more than, say, a Kane Lambert does, but he was really motivated. His defensive work was.
And two goals as well.
Yeah, two goals. Yes, quite right. I kicked one very late. He was, he was very locked in that game. You could see the way he celebrated and the way, he talked to his teammates. And he was quite prepared to sort of set the table for others and not necessarily be the star himself. It's another tribute to the maturation of Dusty.
He was great. Look, his midfielder in arms, Trent Cotchin, was pretty good as well.
Equal best on ground, according to coaches' votes. Yep.
Yes, equal best on ground with Noah Bolter, which is obviously, good company to keep.
Yeah, well, he had 15 contested possessions. And really started the game when the game was hot and earliest. He had 10, sort of. When it was really tight arm wrestle, he was at his best, and still only playing 70% game time. So, you know, that's, you know, just to compare it, you know, Dusty's playing 85%. So
yeah, I really enjoyed Cochin's game. I think the team felt very balanced. Right? When we've been missing so many good midfielders. Like the defence has been done its job all year. It's, you know, when it's broken, it feels like it's on the back of sort of just too much possession coming down from midfield. But this, you know, the forward line was working. The defence felt on top. Midfielders winning key contests. Oh. Yeah, how many ways can we say that we played really well and we're really happy about it?
Yeah, and well, just a few other things I want to talk about. Yeah, Hawley, obviously, after a game to find his feet, was very much back at his best. Also, amazingly, 23 touches and not one score involvement. But the game holds up statistically otherwise. It's not actually, by the way, it's not the first time that's happened with Hawley. I think often he's sort of the outlet kick to get a boundary throw in sort of at half forward. You know, that's often what the end of his kicks, which often is your best possible result when you're under pressure in the back line. And also, I want to talk a bit about Short, Nick.
I thought Hawley was good. I thought both Short and Baker just look really confident and fast, which is, I think, like the game's slowed down for them, that they have absolutely no hesitation in attacking the ball on the man.
Yeah.
They're going really well. The only matchup I thought we had trouble with was Rioli. Not Rioli, Ryan. The People's Secretariat were a little disappointed in Oleg's game, it had to be said.
Yeah, that I think it was that Ryan goal in the fourth where they were both running back, and look, you know, sort of it was like a 100-meter sprint to the West Coast on the break. And Oleg was looking in bored, and he just let Ryan get out the back of him. And, like, there's just no way, you know. Oleg is in the team because he's a great runner. And he had some great overlap run moments. But there was just that one goal just really not. It's like.
Yeah, particularly,
It's just annoying when someone whose greatest attribute is his running and his speed, and like that 100 meter sprint is like that is Oleg is the best player on the team in that position probably, and he didn't put the brick on the accelerator pedal enough, and he just got burned over the back, which was really frustrating. Now, admittedly, it was a perfect kick out of the middle by the West Coast player, but yeah, I was very annoyed by that. But I will say about Short, there was a couple of times. It was one time actually against Ryan where he beautifully pushed him out. There was another time in a marking contest where he didn't go for the mark, but he tapped it over the back to Hawley's advantage and also so he could scoot around the contest and pick it up. And he's really filling himself in the marking contest. Like, he's actually on the list of the – there was a Herald Sun story today about Chan Mihindar's most improved players, and Short's our number one player for most improved. I think this is – like, I know it's I think it's a really hard position to make All-Australian in, but I don't think he's that far off All-Australian pace. Mm. Like, he's playing some very good, intelligent footy.
Yeah. That's a good call. What do you think? I thought we were a little bit short, so to speak, going into the game. And, yeah, I didn't like the Nick Foster on Jack Darling matchup, which when it occurred – briefly, yeah.
Well, I guess everything...
I don't think there's going to be...
Everything got thrown up when Kennedy got injured. And, you know...
Yeah, well, although it was pretty one-for-one when Grimes went out shortly afterwards. So, yeah, I do... I mean, Broad's the obvious... Well, is pretty much the only healthy choice to come in, given Garthwaite's still on his way back from... injury, so yeah. Look, Fremantle are not going to be the team that stretches us too badly.
Noah Bolter, I presume Tabernard's already having Noah Bolter nightmares. He can just hope that he might be able to neutralise the odds. I mean, Noah Bolter had 11 intercept possessions on the weekend. He's a freak. He's just like, he's genuinely intimidating. And the amazing thing is he still does one or two really dumb things a game. And, it doesn't matter because he does so many good things. He makes them all back. That free kick he gave away for a goal. God, it was dumb. But it doesn't matter. And there was another moment where he gave away he kicked a really bad kick, but then straight away, like, it was something that, you know, normal people would go into their shell for a few moments, and then straight away he took a really high-risk intercept mark afterwards, and I just thought, this kid... Yeah,
he never stopped going for his marks.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. Good luck, Tabernard, on Noah Bolter.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I'm glad they've given Oleg a decent run at it, but, I think he'll, given Grimes' injury, I think he'll keep his spot this week, although, as noted, we are terrible at predicting team changes, but, yeah, it's still, it feels like what was great about 2017 and 19 is that we eventually just got a lineup that worked. I don't feel like we're there yet.
No, but you can see why they're persisting with Oleg, and he does a bit of the things that I used to love about Menadue too, is that like the line breaking run when other people are tired. But yeah, you just sort of you fear that those defensive breakdowns are going to happen at a key moment. So yeah, look, we'll see. And probably you're right that the Grimes injury saves him for another week. Another thing with Oleg, sorry to sort of bang on about him. Twice in the game, with a little bit of backwards pressure, he just collapsed forwards. Now I don't know if he's been trained that way to get a free kick, but the umpires were not paying it, and he just sort of went flying forward.
Well, except for when Jack Darling swanned up.
Yeah, but forward. I think Jack Darling gets those free kicks ahead of
ahead of Oleg.
Yeah, and just one thing, the K-Mac, I know he trained as a backman a few times, and there was once a hope that he turned into a back after Grimes got injured, and he had to go play in the back line a bit. Do you want to speculate how many possessions McIntosh got in the second half, Nick?
Not many.
Zero.
Yeah.
but he was on screen a bit. Let's just say as a fullback, he makes a very good wingman.
Let Camden run.
Yeah. I mean, we love Camden, but yeah. And it's good he's got that flexibility, and he might have to pinch hit there again. But you mentioned him in passing, but just credit to Arts, another beautiful snap goal, 16 possessions. That bizarre spoil. It was like a netball push, it was because of Bolter versus.
I wonder how that discussion is going to go at team review.
The interesting thing was there wasn't obvious an opponent of his that he had tracked back. He just somehow run back in the natural order of covering things. He must have sort of seen something that was developing. And then he just saw the reason he did it, he sold out, was because it was Nick Knapp was down there and it was Bolter versus Nick Knapp one out. And actually probably Bolter would have handled it. But like you can understand, you can completely understand why you'd be anxious to try and impact the contest. And look, he knows he's short. He's not going to just naturally do it by floating over the top. He's got to sell out to make any impact. And, you know, sort of those weird chain of events wound up in the oddest looking spoil that we'll have for the year. But, it worked. Stopped the goal.
Yeah. Oh, look, when it works and when you win, Just everything's better.
Yeah, and when you have 16 touches and a goal as a small forward, yeah, everything's fun. And his pressure acts are pretty good too.
It is. We've talked about it. I had a look at our top 10 best and fairest winners from last year. From 14 games played so far, Prestia's played 5 games, Hooley 6, Edwards 5, Asprey 4, Nanx played 4. You know, these are key members of the team who've all of whom were top 10 and best and fairest, including the winner. And
so
we can get them back.
Yep. And we keep winning without them. And we're probably going to manage to do so hopefully for at least one more week.
Yes. So it seems, at least a couple of weeks away from 40 injured guys, but Fremantle this week. I'm actually finding it hard not to potentially talk about them in slightly patronizing terms. Like plucky, feel good rebuilding team, like the look of their kids. Does that sound patronizing?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm hoping we're catching them at the right time, just at the point where they realise their season's over, but before they want the one last win before, to finish the season off, where the team not making the finals plays its grand final. So they've got something to talk, something fun to talk about on Mad Monday.
They have beaten both, Collingwood and St Kilda. Reasonably recently, they're a potential banana peel.
Yeah, absolutely, and every game is, let's face it, with shortened quarters, as you rightly point out, we've got a lot of injuries. But I did go through their I love to do this, and I know it's oversimplification, but who their best players are on by the rankings. It's the same people it's always been. Basically Nat Fyfe is one of the... Sorry, go.
Oh, that is completely true. Mundy was one of their best players against the the Giants, and feels like he's been haunting us for years. But there is, you can see what the future looks like in a way that you haven't been able to before. Like after a slow start, both Brayshaw and Sarah, Chira were quite good. Caleb Sarong has been great for a first year. Midge, you know, they have a 207-centimetre back-up ruckman in Rory Lobb because Sean Darcy is you know, big, solid, young unit. As far as rebuilds go, they're not in bad shape. But, yeah, it's still a couple of years away. And the betting line, you know, it's 28 points at the moment. So, yeah, the expectation is for a comfortable win.
Yeah, as is, Fife and Walters are genuinely all-Australian level players. But, yeah, I'm just I'm fundamentally and as you say, they've got they play at a decent level, but they just there's not enough there at them. You know, they deserve their position on the ladder, and the position of the ladder is that they're almost statistically eliminated from the eight with two games to go. I think the three games to go. But I think they technically can still make it, but it's obviously almost impossible.
Yeah. Look, the template for them is the Collingwood game was a good game to watch. It was really intense, physical, low scoring, intense defensive pressure. Like that's the template for them to try and steal a win. But yeah, I just feel like we're a lot closer than we were to imposing our style of play on a regular basis. And they struggled with the Giants' big forwards, and one of the Giants' big forwards was Jake Riccardi, who's a key position player out of the VFL. Our guys should be able to do some damage.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, look, I'm just so grateful that the season rolls on, and what will happen in the finals.
I feel like we say that.
We
express the gratitude for having the season, and it's completely genuine and appropriate. God.
Yeah, have we lost? I mean, imagine how grim this would be without, the lockdown would be without AFL football games, and actually a good team to follow.
And a team that through a fair bit of adversity, some of which they've created themselves, they're playing really good football. They're playing for each other. The team is better than the sum of its parts, and the sum of its parts pretty good. Bring on Geelong in a couple of weeks.
Well, that's going to be a big game. I am slightly worried that we've got a lot of time off. Well, also with the week before the finals, there's a lot of guys. We talked about resting, which we didn't do, and I think we missed our chance now. There's not much point in resting anyone now because they're going to play so little football between now and the finals that sort of the window is gone. So, because we'll get a break before the Geelong game, and that's really the last big game of the season. I think every selection will be done for matchup or form reasons. I will just say I forgot to mention that. Sorry that Pickett's tackle where he I know this is not the technical wrestling term where he tombstoned the West Coast player having a shot for goal. was one of my favourite moments of the game.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was a really physical game of footy. I mentioned there's some sore boys, given they're often playing on, they're always playing on ice and 7-day break at the moment.
It is so nice. Just on the point of how much...
6 days this week.
How much we enjoy watching this team. Like, when you watch other teams, like particularly Melbourne, had that miracle win... Nice win against St Kilda, so the fans are happy. But it is so jarring when you watch Richmond all the time. Is you know, the players don't really know where each other. The thing about Richmond is we always know where our next player is coming from when they're hand passing. It's, you know, the fight it forward. Like it works. The other players know. And yes, the other team intercept it, but because there's a Richmond player running to that spot where they expect their hand pass to go, the other team's player is hot to, and you've also gained ground. So you're creating this rolling wave. I just think it works so much better than, you know, a lot of teams, what they do is they try to hand pass back for the clear cut because, you know, the place where there's space is usually out the back of the contest. After you, if you've got possession of it and then you hand pass back, you often get a player free who then's got time to look around the field and kick. But that's very predictable, and the other team has time to set up for it. I just don't think it's that effective as a strategy, and just you wind up playing very static football. It's just so nice when you watch Richmond games, is like our fight forward style of football is just so much better to watch, and it works.
Yeah. And it works. Well, most of the time it works.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, look, relative to, if you were to take relative to where these guys were drafted, this team should be in the bottom eight. Like, something's going, you know, really well.
True.
And, you know, drafting's not everything, quite obviously, but yeah. Look, it's working for the meantime, so I'm just remembering to savor the Kool-Aid as I sip it.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! Right on the Tigers! Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your hearts!
Oh, she is. Had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh? Pickett lines up.
Going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yeah. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is a play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. That champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals, you can make the case for being best on ground.
A better team last year than they are now.